every morning, Arabile Gumede and Nastasia Arensa on Classic Business. Breakfast with MoneyWeb.
Well, we continue to unpack the banking discussion in South Africa. Yes, first we had that Discovery update, but it has been an interesting year for banking in South Africa. And one of the things that have certainly hurt South Africa's banking sector and perhaps put a dent in it and shone a spotlight on a particular form of banking in South Africa is mutual banking. And of course, the saga at VBS Mutual Bank. So Professor Yanni Rousseau, who is Head of Economic and Business Sciences at Wits University, spoke to the South African Reserve Bank and asked them how they came to the conclusion around asking the banking regulator to terminate the curatorship of VBS Mutual Bank, and then for permission to wind up the affairs of the bank. And this, of course, follows that near the looting, of course, that happened at VBS, as you saw fraud happen at the bank. And it was aimed at perhaps trying to save the bank, but there seems to be no prospect of doing this. Professor Yanni Rousseau, thank you so much for your time this morning. Let's talk about what the Reserve Bank actually said to you in your questions. You asked them about what drove the regulator's decision. What did they say?
Good morning, Arabile. Good morning to the listeners. The Reserve Bank, when they became aware of the problems of DBS Bank, initially put the bank under curatorship. Curatorship is a provision in South African banking legislation where the management of the bank is taken away from the bank's normal management, entrusted to a curator who then assesses the full situation at such a bank, in this case DBS Bank. And whilst the bank has now been under curatorship, it's become clear that the bank is hopelessly insolvent, that there's been large looting of the bank, and hence the decision to liquidate the bank.
So in that case, would you call it a fair decision then to do so, despite the protests of some political detractors?
But there's really no other decision to reach, given the fact that the bank is hopelessly insolvent. So, yes, of course, there is some emotion around the name of DBS Mutual Bank, emotion around the fact that it serves poor people. But the problem with DBS Bank is it accepted deposits from municipalities, which is not allowed in terms of the mutual bank's structure, because no provision is made for that in terms of the Municipal Finance Management Act. So the bank acted outside of legislation in the first instance and then misappropriated funds. So there's no other possible outcome. I can't see that somebody would put 2 billion rands in DBS Bank to recapitalize it.
And what happens now? I mean, yes, fine. So you have liquidation coming to the fore. What does that actually mean for any of those that had money in the bank? Of course, Nedbank, not so long ago, the South African Reserve Bank ratified Nedbank to give out money to some of the depositors. Are there any other assets that need to be split? What exactly happens from here on?
There is a difference between curatorship and liquidation, in as much as the curator can still see what can be salvaged. And under the curatorship arrangement in DBS Bank, it was decided to repay all deposits up to a maximum of 100,000 rands. So people who had, say, 75,000 rands on deposit at DBS Bank got the deposited money back in full. So each municipality incidentally will get back 100,000 rands. Thereafter, the activities of the bank will now be wound up, assets, but whatever is left will be sold off, and if any money can be recovered, it will be distributed amongst depositors, and they will get back some of their money, some indications 10 cents in the rand, some indications 20 cents in the rand. However, the important point is all deposits up to 100,000 rand had been repaid, and that covers about 97% of the depositors, as I've just explained, which means that all small depositors will be covered.
Yeah, you mentioned as well in a little note that you wrote actually on the conversation here that there are a number of lessons to be learned then from this scandal. And one of the first of those is something that we've seen happen quite a lot of late, and that is audit reports, which, you know, need to certainly be treated with a degree of circumspection.
Yes, in the case of VBS Bank, the auditors clearly failed the bank. Unfortunately, the same happened in the case of Steinhoff. And I must stress the point again. In the case of VBS Bank, people who looted the bank must be charged. If they're guilty, they must go to jail. Similarly, in Steinhoff, Mr. Marcus Huston must be charged. Mr. Huston clearly allowed misconduct at Steinhoff. He must be charged, and if found guilty, he must be sent to jail. At the same time, it's necessary for the audit profession to have clear introspection. The audit profession has really let down South Africans.
Yeah, that's certainly one of the scary parts. What other lessons do you believe we should certainly be holding to account and thinking of when we look back at the scandal?
Yeah, the audit profession is in serious trouble in South Africa. South Africans are losing confidence in the audit profession. It seems to me that in the case of banks, it might be necessary going forward to appoint 2 firms of auditors for each bank, and not only for large banks, as currently stipulated in the legislation.
Professor Yanni Rousseau, appreciate your time. The head of economic and business sciences at Wits University. I wanted to just check in on some market news. The interim results for the 6 months ended 30 September 2018 for Vodacom have officially been released and are on SENS. The group service revenue goes up 6.1%. To 36.8 billion rand, group revenue increasing 5.6% to 44.4 billion. The company managed to add 4.8 million customers in that 6 months. That's 4.8 million customers. That's up 10.7%. 2.5 million of those, that's just over half of those, are in South Africa, with 2.3 million in the other international operations. Safaricom added 373,000 customers. So in combination, now they have 109 million customers across the group. Their South Africa revenue increasing 4.6%, supported by strong customer growth there. There seems to have been great growth as well in the international operations, and service revenue growth on that front accelerating 12.8%, and that was boosted a lot by M-Pesa. And at the same time, the interim dividend per share of 395 cents, and that's despite issue of 114.5 million new shares for that new BEE structure. Greg Davies, head of wealth at Kratos Capital, any thoughts on these interim results?
Yes, I like the growth in subscribers. That's actually that's quite an amazing number, really. Safaricom business looks like it's paying off. But to get another 2.5 million subscribers in, that's good. It does look as though they're also managing to cut down on costs as well. And great to see that BEE deal being bedded down and not affecting the dividend.
Yeah, I will certainly unpack a little bit more of that earnings perhaps throughout the rest of the show a little bit later. But it is 7:40. Let's get to your traffic.